Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Things are so much different today than they were 20 years ago. With the advent of the internet, with PCs in everybody's house, with high-speed internet, things have changed a lot. Information is right at your fingertips. Matter of fact, there's so much information out there, or disinformation, or I don't know half the time what's true and what's not true. People are making such outrageous claims. You know, in this type of field that I cover, this is why I try to talk to people that have had personal experiences, because at least you can share something that you know happened. And I guess at that point, I got to decide if I trust that person or not that's telling the story. And usually I do. Usually it's somebody I know or somebody that knows someone else. That's kind of what my show's been about, because there's just so many people out there telling incredible stories that I just don't know if I believe it all. And there are many that believe that we are in an age of disinformation, that there are those being paid to lie, to keep us from learning the truth. If I were to say the truth, somebody might come out and say, well, we're going to do just the opposite and make him look like he's a loon. I got started on a journey about 24 years ago. I think it was 1988. I saw a video that was recorded in Sedona, Arizona. His name was William Cooper. And a person close to me let me watch this video. And William Cooper claimed to be a man who had a lot of naval intelligence understanding, former military, and he had a lot of knowledge of things that the average person didn't come across. And some of these things that he talked about, one of them being conspiracies, another being UFOs and the cover-up, and another one at the time that I saw in that video was the Kennedy assassination and how that was a cover-up and who was behind it. So, you know, when I saw it, it was just the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my life, because there was nothing else out at the time. We didn't have internet and if we did, it was just in its infancy. We didn't have these access to all these different, people saying different things. And I always thought, well, this man is a former military, so why would he make these things up? What would he have to gain? And so what you're going to hear now is an interview with William Cooper, who was living in Arizona. He was born in 1943, I believe. He died in 2005. After what authorities claim was a gunfight with local sheriffs. So that makes you wonder, was he a little nutty? He actually shot and killed a deputy before he was gunned down. Now, he was against the government because he felt the government was turning against us and that we were asleep at the wheel. And he apparently uncovered some plans for a new world order and also an alien cover-up and many other things, too. I mean, there's many videos. If you Google him, you'll find him talking about many different things. This interview was taken, I think, in the early 90s, right around the time of the Persian Gulf War. You'll hear him make reference to President Bush, the first President Bush that was in office, the father, and also what was going on in the Gulf. Now, some of the statements he makes have not come forward, but I do see some truth in what he's saying as far as it seems like our rights are disappearing. You know, some of what he says seems fairly, I don't know, like it could be happening. I don't know for sure, and I don't spend too much time worrying about it, but this is what got me started down the road. Besides my own experiences, watching this video got me to at least start looking around, so you can see what you think of it. It's about 24 minutes. The fellow that's hosting the show is Bryce Bond, and I believe that's his name, and he is interviewing William Cooper back in the early 90s.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Bryce Bond.
And I'm Linda Pellerin.
And this is Dimensions in Parapsychology. Do you know who we're here today? We have a man by the name of Bill Coover.
That's right.
He was a former United States Naval Intelligence briefing officer.
Yes, he was on the briefing team.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when I was reading some of his material, he says something interesting in there. He's just out there to preserve the Constitution and the future of mankind.
He's a true patriot. What we
yes,
call
he is.
We could call him the Ralph Nader Rambo of revealing secrets.
Yes, top government secrets. It's
going
to be an interesting
show. He talks about the secret government and also the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination as well.
Yes, I'd like to know more about the secret government and also UFOs.
Let's meet our guest right now, Bill Coover. This is our guest, Bill Coover, and he was with Naval Intelligence. And Bill, I want to thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
You're a big guy.
Well, you don't see my father.
You mean he's bigger than you?
Oh, yes, he's bigger than me. I sit in one of our lawn chairs in Arizona out in the lawn. It's beautiful there. And he came to visit, sat in the same chair, and it collapsed.
Oh, my God. Bill, I want to find out why you got into this. I mean, you're the Ralph Nader Rambo for revealing secrets that, you know, that obviously the government wants to suppress and not let us know about.
Well, they do want to suppress them, but I really don't like or want the label of a hero or a Rambo or anything like that. I'm no different than any other average American person. I just happened to see something in a particular time in my life that set me off on a search that has resulted in...
What was that?
It was in 1966 when I was with the Navy. One of the things that I saw was a UFO, what they call a UFO. Mm-hmm. Of course, this wasn't unidentified. This was a craft. And it was approximately the size of a Midway-class aircraft carrier. Came up out of the ocean while I was the port lookout on a submarine between Pearl Harbor and the Portland, Seattle area. Tumbled on its axis and went up into the clouds. It was metallic. It was a machine. There was no doubt about it. It was witnessed by myself, the captain, the officer of the deck, the starboard lookout, the chief quartermaster, Chief Quintero, who took photographs of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told that it was classified and that we were not to discuss it, not even amongst ourselves. And, all my life I had never believed in these things, although I had heard many stories about them. But that was probably the most significant, eye-opening, mind-opening event that's ever happened to me in my
mm-hmm.
life. Later I was attached to Naval Security and Intelligence, while I was on the intelligence briefing team for the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, I saw top-secret documents that came across my desk in the process of preparing briefings on incidents involving naval ships, naval mm-hmm. personnel, or naval stations. And UFOs that flatly stated that UFOs are real,
mm-hmm.
they're machines, they're piloted by extraterrestrial beings.
Another intelligences, in other words.
Right, other intelligences, and that they're interacting with the United States government secretly. And it's really wrong to say the United States government because it's really a secret organization that was created under a governing body called Majesty 12, sometimes called Majority 12, nicknamed MJ-12.
Okay, this is nothing to do with the secret government, is it? This is another branch.
No, this has something to do with the secret government because through this organization, the secret government actually controls the executive branch of the United States of America.
Okay, now, I want to go back because you have a lot of information. I want to go back to the MJ-12 and also what they've seen on the documents and what you've seen and all the other questions that we have to ask. Now, what is the secret government? We've heard about this a long time, at least some people have brought it forward. What is the secret government?
The secret government was actually created, the secret world government was actually created in 1952 when an alliance of all the secret powers, the powers behind the thrones, occurred because of the knowledge of this extraterrestrial presence
mm-hmm.
had to be dealt with. And they had to create a one world government, in other words, unite mankind against a possible extraterrestrial threat from
mm-hmm.
out there, if it really exists.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the coin is maybe they created this extraterrestrial threat from out there, and they have the technology that we've created here on Earth ourselves
mm-hmm.
and are making us think that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, all these secret powers made an alliance in 1952. It's called the Bilderberg Group. And they are really running the world.
The Bilderberg Group.
Okay. Yes, through what they call the Policy Committee. And
where is their HQ?
That's in Geneva, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
The United States, the Soviet Union, everyone participates in this. We've all been secretly allies for many, many years. In fact, we were never really enemies. But that type of Hegelian conflict situation has been created artificially in order to get large sums of money in the form of taxes and other things from the populace of the world in order to fund these secret activities and actually bring about the New World Order, which, by the way, on September the 11th, the first official mention of the New World Order, which I've been talking about for years, mm-hmm. was made by President Bush. He mentioned it three times in his speech on September the 11th. Since then, Shevardnadze of Russia has made the statement, and I quote, "Iraq is performing an act of terrorism against the emerging New World Order," unquote. And Margaret Thatcher and many other heads of government are now talking about it. It's a daily subject of conversation, and it goes right over the heads of most Americans. They don't understand this.
Hmm.
And they had better wake up and understand it, because in order for us to join a New World Order, we have to lose our Bill of Rights. What's happened in Russia and Eastern
Europe?
Well,
we've lost these already, haven't we?
Well, we've already lost the Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost certain portions of the First Amendment. For instance, people don't believe that books can be banned in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If they were paying attention, just last week a book was banned in this country. It's the book written by the Mossad officer about the Israeli intelligence group. There was a court order issued to the publisher not to publish that book anymore. Barbara Honegger's book, October Surprise, if you go and try to order it, you can't get it. And if you look in the book, there's a R by the book, and that R means restricted. People don't understand this.
So there is suppression going on.
There is not only suppression going on, but there is a campaign underway that, if it's not successful, and the campaign is to get rid of our rights, but to make you want to. That's what the drug war is all about. And if that doesn't work, then
you
they
say
will...
The drug war is to make you get rid of our rights?
That's right.
That's fascinating material. Wow.
And, well, it's already happening. You notice in all the polls, Americans are indicating that they're willing to give up some of their rights to get the drugs and the crime off of the streets. This has never happened in the history of this country.
So all this was manipulated by some other powerful force, a secret government, in other words.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anybody can figure this out with simple mathematics and a little bit of common sense. If you just look at a map, that if you can find one that has all of the cities and towns in the United States on it, count each one of them. It's going to take you a long time to do that.
Oh, I imagine.
But you count each one of those cities and towns, and then you realize that each one of them are full of drugs and have to be kept full of drugs to supply the people who buy these drugs on a daily basis. And then it becomes mind-boggling. And you have to realize that this takes tremendous amounts of money that nobody, no individual or no individual group has. It takes an organization. It takes a supply network. It takes transportation. It takes a distribution network. It takes coordination. It is incredible what an organization would have just to furnish everybody in this country with a box of Cracker Jacks.
God, it's like some giant enigma had this enveloped itself around the planet, that nothing can be done because it's manipulated and controlled by this secret government, in other words.
Well, that's true, but something can be done. You see, most of their power comes from the fact that it's secret. And you have to understand that anything that is secret...
But it's not secret any longer.
That's right. But most average people don't believe that this is occurring. They find it goes way beyond their concept.
In other words, oh no, it can't possibly be happening. We trust these people explicitly.
That's right. No. That's the attitude. And especially in America, where they believe that this is the best government in the world, it can't happen to us, and they don't understand it's not the government. It's a secret organization that has penetrated, infiltrated the government, and actually taken over our government, and is now causing the government to act against us through their actions, not through what was legally and constitutionally set up to perform as our government. When that is functioning the way it's supposed to, and when it's run by citizens, real citizens, then it works.
Wow. This is mind-boggling to think about, that this huge organization is manipulating and controlling not only drugs and crime, and you also would say it's part of the Hussein war in Iraq right now?
Absolutely, yes.
What's going to be the outcome in your perception?
Well, let me give you the scenario.
There's too many people over there, and this guy, you know, any government leader with all the pressure being put upon him now would completely surrender or just evacuate Kuwait and say, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm. This is orchestrated. Hussein is reading his script and acting out his role to bring about the New World Order. You see, change can't come about without conflict, because people resist change. It's the normal thing. You must have a disaster.
And conflict is economy.
Right, to institute great change. Not only that, but think who's over there. They've sent 500,000 of our most devout, most dedicated patriots who are sworn to uphold and protect the Constitution. They're now in the Middle East. They're out of the country. They're in a position, in a foreign environment, very hostile environment, where they can be killed very easily with chemical warfare. And I have to tell you this from my stint in the military, that our troops have no protection in a desert environment against chemical warfare. Those men are dead. They have to get the patriots out of the country, as many as they can, and they have to get rid of them, because patriots will not allow them to suspend the Constitution and join the New World Order. The ones who are left, when this happens, are targeted and will be rounded up in the dead of night, probably on Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's, when they know that everyone will be home, in order to bring about the New World Order, to join the New World Order. That's what's happening in the Middle East. Nobody cares if Hussein invaded Kuwait. Nobody believes or could possibly believe that we're there to prevent the price of oil from going up to $26 a gallon, because our mere presence has driven it up to almost $35 a gallon. If there's a war, it's going to go much higher than that. Bush told the truth when he said that out of the Middle East conflict will come the New World Order. He was telling the truth. And it's one of the few times that he's told the truth.
Okay, now Bill, you're absolutely fascinating, and this is information which is startling to a lot of people. It will be. Now I want to get back to the M12, or the ones who are in contact with extraterrestrial intelligences, whether they come from alternate realities or other dimensions, or whether they come from some physical time place.
Well, I have to tell you that I've never seen an extraterrestrial, never in my life.
But you've seen the craft.
I've seen the craft.
How many times?
It's real. This between a 7 and 10 minute period, this thing or these things.
When you were aboard the carrier.
Yeah, when I was aboard the submarine. Went up and down. I don't know how many times, but many times during that period.
Did you check it on the sonar? Did the other people check it on sonar in the submarine?
We had sonar contact. We had radar contact. When it was in the water, we had sonar. When it was in the air, we had radar.
Did it ever make any intelligent contact with you folks?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had, I wouldn't be aware of it, because I had nothing to do with the radio room, and they didn't talk about what they did, and they shouldn't.
Now, I'm going to ask you as well, there's so much I want to ask you, about all the papers that you witnessed and all the documents that you've witnessed. Did it give a categorical statement that UFOs do exist, that there are other intelligences,
yes.
they can't...
That's exactly what it said.
Did it indicate where they come from, or say from a physical dimension, or from a parallel dimension, like a...
No, according to the documents that I saw, they're real, just as real as you and I. They're from this dimension, and they're from other planets, and specifically named a planet somewhere within the Pleiades, a planet that is around Barnard's star. It mentioned the Sirius, the star Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned a planet around the star Betelgeuse in the constellation of Orion.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned a planet in the star, the binary star grouping of Zeta 1 and 2 Reticuli.
Mm-hmm.
And it stated that there were at least four different species of extraterrestrial beings here visiting and surveying the Earth.
Now, in other words, they're walking the streets right now.
Yes, if this whole thing is real. You see, I found, and I have to say this, I believe they're real. Let me put that first. I really believe they're real. But I don't believe that they're the bad guys that the secret powers want us to believe that they are. Because if they're real, they've been visiting us for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to kill us all, they could have done that thousands of years ago.
They could have taken over the planet, but they're not allowed to intrude, I feel. Now, when you say the good guys and bad guys, like Betty Hill, she and Barney Hill, were about the standard guy, about 5 foot high with a big, large head, big eyes, and things like that. Then there's other people who indicate that the grays, which are large heads but smaller, these are negative characters. And then there's some people who say they look like any one of us. They're in human form, and you can't tell them without a scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is your perception of all the information that you have received?
My perception is that I believe extraterrestrials are real, but it doesn't mean that I'm right, because I found evidence and statements as far back as 1917 by people who belong to this secret power group to create an artificial alien threat from another planet in order to unite humanity and bring about the New World Order. So there's a possibility. Oh yeah. So there's a possibility that this thing could be a total hoax, because they have the capability to have actually rewritten history.
Well, they can certainly.
Yeah. But I believe that they're real. I believe, however, they're being made out to be bad guys to bring about this New World Order.
To bring us closer together, in other words. So we could be manipulated into a unified thought.
Right. But what we're being manipulated into is not going to be good for us. It's going to be good for the secret power group, for the very wealthy, elite, rich, powerful people. We're literally going to be relegated to economic slavery. And if we go out of the confines that they put us in, are in the pattern of actions that they wish us to act out, they will simply put you into a camp which is going to be called a mental treatment center to reprogram you.
Much like those camps they put the Japanese American citizens in during World War II.
Right, and if that doesn't work, it's extermination time, because they're not going to mess with anybody.
In other words, they're going to start... in other words, your life would be a threat too, wouldn't it?
My life was...
threatened many times?
Forfeit when I first opened my mouth. But, you know, I had to make a decision. Am I going to live out my life knowing inside what I know and betraying my fellow man and hating myself for that? Or am I going to speak up and tell people what I know and have some self-respect and be able to go and meet my God and look him straight in the eye and say, I did a good thing?
Well, you'd have been congratulated, certainly.
Well, I think this is the choice that people have to make on a daily basis, whether they know what I know or not, in order for this to be a good world. Because if everybody acted in that manner, we would never have any problems on this earth.
Are there many people who want to ridicule you and put you down?
Well, that happens all the time. It comes with the territory.
Absolutely.
And at first it hurts and it stings and it feels terrible, but after a while you get used to it, you don't even pay any attention to it after that. Oh, yeah, there are some people who their whole life's mission is to shut me up, and it won't work.
I tell you, you are in naval intelligence, and I happen to be part of that organization for a little while. I was a photographer, though. I went there with the photograph and got the images. Then I was told to keep my mouth shut. What I seen, you know, it's top secret, confidential. You got a nice tailor shop. You want to keep it? Want to keep it open? It's almost like giving a little bit of a threat. If you say too much, you know.
Oh, it's
they're going to spank you.
It's definitely a threat. People are now getting letters. People who go up to this position where I told them about near Area 51 in Nevada, where they can see these craft fly.
Okay. Area 51 in Nevada. What is this? This is a location where people can see UFOs fly?
It used to be one of the most remote spots in the United States, but of course now there's people, you know.
What's the nearest city to it, Area 51?
I believe it's Ash Springs, and that's about maybe 40 miles.
And if they were to go there, what would they see?
They will actually see these craft, what we call flying saucers, flying in the air.
Not the big baby that you saw from the submarine.
No, no.
They'll see the little scout ships or
something
like that?
They'll see those about 30 feet.
Not the big baby that you saw from the submarine.
No, no.
They'll see the little scout ships or something
like that? Right, they'll see those about 30 feet in diameter. They'll see them fly. They're piloted by United States personnel, pilots.
They are. So these UFOs are, they're created by... Americans?
I don't know if we have the capability to build them or not.
Have they been given to us, and we're being trained to be able to fly them?
According to the documents I saw, if aliens are real, if I wasn't being used as a pawn, three of them were given to us, and we recovered many more that have crashed on the Earth.
Well, we hear about, what was it, the Hangar 18 out at Andrews Air Force Base. We hear about another one, the Roswell, New Mexico incident, where these craft have crashed and they have the little guys on ice or something like that. And the one where Eisenhower went into a hangar in California and was given 3 days to clamber aboard a spacecraft mm-hmm. with the scientists. They were mm-hmm. told not to touch. Is any truth to this report or what?
Truth to all of it, except Hangar 18 was really at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base
in Ohio.
And for many years, there was a craft stored in that hangar. There were alien bodies refrigerated in deep freeze in that hangar. But the story leaked out. You can never keep anything that fantastic a secret because no matter how bad somebody doesn't want to talk about it, it's so heavy on their soul that they have to eventually.
Oh, yeah.
So there were so many stories going around about Hangar 18 at Wright-Patterson that they had to move everything out of the hangar, and eventually they actually let in a TV crew who filmed the inside of the hangar and showed that there was nothing in there, but that there were some strange things in there that are not normally found in an aircraft hangar, mm-hmm. such as freezers.
Well, that could be for cryonics.
Storage in the wall, yes.
The cryonic experimentation of, you know, freezing a person so he can be resurrected again. So from what I gather, they have moved some of the artifacts, at least from what I heard, to Quantico, Virginia. Some behind in Las Vegas, Nevada, in some agricultural station.
There's an alien technology unit in Las Vegas near Nellis Air Force Base. Super secret. Trucks go in and out of there, always escorted by security vehicles. At night, there's the most incredible light security thing set up around a fence that you can see through binoculars. And I don't really know what goes on there, but Alien Technology Center, I mean, they're not talking about the Mexican people, and they're not talking about Canadians, and they're not talking about people from Africa. They're talking about extraterrestrials when they're talking about Alien Technology Center there at Las Vegas. As far as Quantico, I don't know if they moved anything to Quantico, but I know that in Camp Lejeune,
North Carolina.
Yes, mm-hmm. people have indicated to me that there are alien craft stored in hangars at Camp Lejeune under heavy guard, and it's under a project called Project Hanel. I've heard this from many different sources, all ex-Marines mm-hmm. who were stationed at Camp Lejeune.
Bill, have you ever seen any photographs of some of these extraterrestrials who were basically killed when their craft crashed?
Yes, I saw photographs of them. I saw the autopsy reports.
What do they look like?
The ones that in fact, you can get a beautiful description from them. Just read Whitley Strieber's book, Majestic. I was really suspicious of Strieber because he never referred to extraterrestrials. He never called them what his mind would tell them that they are, mm-hmm. demons or angels mm-hmm. or extraterrestrials. He always called them the visitors. And that's an indication to me that something was not straight with Whitley Strieber. When he published Majestic, I read that book, and it is the actual true account of the Roswell incident, and there's only one place he could have got it, because I saw the documents that this information
came from. From the horse's mouth, in other words.
From the horse's mouth, which means that Whitley Strieber is really working for the Central Intelligence Agency, and I have to tell you that everything in that book is absolutely true. The documents in there are the real documents. The only thing that's been changed is the name of the people, and the name of the projects, and the name of the organization. It's Whoa. Operation Majority, not Operation Majestic 12, and so on and so forth. The person who is the main character is really portraying James Forrestal, and all this information came out of Forrestal's secret diaries. He was the man who was in control of the actual Roswell recovery back in 1947.
Why?
And they killed him by throwing him out the window of the Bethesda Naval Hospital because he was talking about it. He wanted to tell the world what had happened.
Well, on that note, we're going to continue with Linda next.
I just want to correct myself and say that he actually died in 2001. I believe it's 2001 because he was like 68 years old, William Cooper, when he was gunned down by police. And there's been some speculation as to whether or not he was set up. I mean, you can keep thinking on these kind of things till you go blue in the face, thinking that, well, maybe the government did this. And you know, at some point we have to move on, and if you just focus on those conspiracy things all the time, then you're going to have a lot of negativity in your life, and I don't want to live like that. I really don't. I just see it that my goal is to learn, keep learning. I'm open to listen to pretty much all things. But what we dwell on, and a good friend of mine told me this, whatever we focus on the longest becomes the strongest. I really believe that. So I'm not going to sit here and dwell on those kind of things, and my show is not going to become those kind of things. Now, I've had people turn me down to do shows with me because I didn't do enough of those kind of things. Just recently, somebody turned me down because they didn't think my listeners would be ready for this kind of thing that they were going to talk about. And I said, you know what? I'm open to all things, especially if you have personal experience or if you can share other people's stories. And that's what this guest was going to do. But this guest, for some reason, didn't feel my show, that my listeners, basically their excuse was my listeners wouldn't be able to handle it. Or maybe it's my show is just too small. I've had people turn me down for that, and I understand that. It's not the end of the world. This is just a show I do for the fun of it and talk about things that are interesting and maybe learn some things and maybe get some interaction with people as well. So my take on William Cooper, I really don't know. I don't know everything about his life. But it was one of the things that hit me first back in the late 80s. Before people were doing this kind of thing much. You know, Art Bell was still around, I believe. He was doing his shows back in the day. So you didn't have a lot of people challenging, I guess, John Birch Society. There's always been things like that. But now you have so much of it. I guess the point I'm making is, how do you know what to believe or not to believe? I guess you can only really base it on what you truly feel and your own experiences. And if you hear somebody like William Cooper talk about things, then maybe you set forth in your life to see if some of those things are actually happening or if there's some truth behind them. I really haven't been able to prove a lot of what he said, but I do see potential for what he has said about maybe some changes are coming. And there certainly seems to be a cover-up involving UFOs. I think anybody that's looked at the UFO controversy can realize that there seem to be a lot of people that have been kept quiet. People that have come forward, and when they do, they make them appear to be like idiots, you know. And this has gone on forever, you know, for a long time. So next week I'll talk to a fellow who's done some investigating in Pennsylvania. And he's been involved in UFO research and strange paranormal research going back to the 60s. So we'll talk to Stan Gordon next week, hopefully, if all goes well, and we'll see what he has to say about some unusual things as well. I appreciate you listening, and I also would appreciate any comments you have. Feel free to let me know what you think. You know, everything I present here is through my own experiences. I choose not to hype things up deliberately because, again, what I've noticed in media, the people that do that usually are not, there's an angle. There's an angle for why they do that. And that makes me leery. So on that note, you have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon on Out There.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.